energy efficiency.
More than just getting you to change a light bulb.
Climate change.
Renewable energy.
This is what the U.S. has committed. This is what the EU has committed for 2020.
What can I do about it?
Talking about the climate change talks going on in Copenhagen now, Barack Obama will visit there after his speech in Oslo. But yesterday we reported on this program that something called the Danish Text, a draft of a mechanism for actually enforcing climate change and reductions in carbon emissions, is circulating and causing controversy at the Copenhagen conference. And the reason it's causing controversy is because apparently a cabal, a small subcommittee of rich developed nations, would actually be in charge of that enforcement mechanism. It's obviously concerned officials from all other nations at the conference, and is very much being talked about today. Richie Ahuja joins us. He's the Indian Program Manager with the Environmental Defense Fund, and he's a voice of the developing world. Richie, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, explain precisely what the problem is with this Danish text and the idea that you'd have an enforcement mechanism which is made up of developed countries, principally the United States, and perhaps the economies of Japan and Europe.
Well, let me just take a step back. Basically, it is a text, and it is not the final version. There will be multiple iterations of this. So from my lens, I'd say it's a strong text that's been put on the table. And will be negotiated on. We are, after all, in a negotiation. And compliance is a central part and a difficult part to handle. And I imagine as we move forward, we'll see some sort of convergence on that as well. But it's a very critical part for all countries to come on board and manage compliance well.
Well, Richie Ahuja, there are reports that actually India and China participated in possibly the draft of the so-called Danish text. But I'm wondering how the Indian government views this issue of compliance and how it will be enforced.
Well, from the Indian standpoint at the moment, from where they stand, it is their stance is that for the domestic actions, they will do the internal MRV, the monitoring, reporting, and verification. And for any work that is funded through international mechanisms, they're open to international verification. But again, it's early days yet to make a call and say that this is how it'll end up.
Right. But going by that policy or your characterization of the Indian policy, if the only purview of the international community to enforce is efforts that are funded with international funds, that's a tiny fraction. Most of the carbon comes from internal economic forces in places like China, the United States, and India.
Right. But again, we're looking at potential. It's about future emissions, and most of the future emissions are going to come from places like China and India. And India, of course, doesn't have as big a bank as other places, and their view is that a lot of this should be supported through international funding mechanisms. And with that will come the international verification. I think the larger view is that all efforts, domestic and internationally funded, should be managed through international compliance mechanisms. And that's where the gist of it is, where we're having some sort of a problem.
Well, Richie Ahuja, let's talk about why India has a problem with the World Bank. The Danish text suggests that the World Bank would be administering this enforcement mechanism. And again, it's just a draft. But what's the problem with the World Bank?
I would not know how to begin to answer that. I think, again, the so far, the way the negotiations have worked, the developing countries have been asking for a central entity, a new entity, much like the Adaptation Fund Board, to do this. But let's be realistic. I think you'll have different delivery vehicles for financing. And as I said earlier, this is an early iteration of the text. It is not the final be-all and end-all. So we'll see very many revisions in the couple of days to come.
Well, Richie Ahuja, thanks so much for joining us. He's the Indian Program Manager with the Environmental Defense Fund, giving us, to a certain extent, India's reaction to this so-called Danish text, which refers to the very complex issue at the climate change talks of compliance. We're joined now by Andrew Revkin, who's environmental reporter for The New York Times, who's in Copenhagen. We just got a sense of this controversy and debate and really the tiptoeing around the idea that this is a draft. Compliance is really the extreme bugaboo at this conference, correct?
Yes, just think about the Senate. This all relates basically to the U.S. Senate. For Obama to sign on to anything here that would result in a treaty next year, he's thinking about 67 votes, which is what you need in the United States to have advice and consent of the Senate. That's a lot of votes. Just think, well, you know, you've been covering the health and
sure.
energy debates. for 60 votes, 67 is a steep hill to climb. That means you really have to pay attention not just to the sort of moderates, but some pretty conservative voices who don't like treaties and who want, if we're going to have money flowing anywhere from our coffers, to have it verifiable. And that's what it's about.
We've been covering this conference all week long. Give us a sense of the politics that are emerging. How are the constituencies operating? How are the sessions going? How much backroom dealing is going on versus public stances?
Well, just to delineate the realities, there are three or four blocks of countries here. There's the poorest of the poor. And for them, everyone has a different definition of global warming and a different definition of what they want out of this treaty, as I've been writing on .earth and in the paper. The poorest countries want money. They feel already vulnerable, if not suffering from climate-related hazards that they assert are the responsibility of everyone who's been pumping greenhouse gases into the atmosphere for the last 100 years or two. And then the emerging giants, China and India. India is trying to distance itself from China, which has five times the emissions of India,
right,
measured in any way. But so China's kind of on its own. It sometimes groups itself with the others. There's this long-lasting institution called the Group of 77 plus China.
Right.
And America basically wants to split India off and split China off and say, you know, you can't do that anymore. You're a big boy now, and you need to kind of come over to our side. You have trillions in capital, and in fact, just today, George Soros, I blogged on him coming here, the financier and philanthropist.
No, he says the amount of money being put up is way, way insufficient. Andrew Refkin, environmental reporter for the New York Times, reporting from Copenhagen, where there at least is talk about setting up an international mechanism for enforcing compliance on climate change. Thanks to Andrew.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.